Item four, item two, resolution determining necessity of the public acquisition of easement rights and interest in property, approving the acquisition map for the location extension, installation, and maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities. Mr. Bennett, we have our magnificent GIS system up.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and this cord, yellow cord, is our live connection to our network, so we are working right off the network. So this is kind of live GIS, and
this
I always caution people when they do things live that's a, something that can go wrong real fast.
This is where I get to plug that. The GIS system is now available via the city's website, and many of the things that you'll see here are available to the entire world now. So.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the proposed Ryan Creek Interceptor is 5 miles long, so it's kind of hard to look at it, but GIS allows us to look at it in a number of different ways. And what you see up on the screen is the city of Franklin. The red line around it is a corporate line. And the gold line that you see, and I'll get more clear as we zoom in more, is the Ryan Creek Interceptor. I did put a point. This is the center of the city, just to give you an idea. Then the area served by the Ryan Creek Interceptor.
Well, just one second. Mr. Deal, could you turn the TV on? You're tall enough.
It's not that. It's a switch, right?
No, somebody hit the switch, and I don't know what I'm controlling.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much. Sorry.
The yellow area is the service area that the Ryan Creek would serve, and as you can see, since this is the center of the city, that it's serving about a quarter of the city of Franklin in the southwest corner. What I'm going to do now is to put some of the environmental restrictions on the interceptor so you can see it, and then we'll proceed through and I'll walk through the whole 5 miles of the Ryan Creek Interceptor in more detail. But first of all, the wetlands. And you can see there's a lot of wetlands, and there's a lot of wetlands in the southwest part of the community. The next is environmental areas, and they're showing in green. So now you have the blue and the green. And then the other thing we end up having is woodlands. So and there's a lot of natural resources in the southwest part of the community. Then we can add floodplains, and of course then the Ryan Creek Interceptor is going to show up. I'm going to show the comp plan, because on top of it, you won't see it right away, but as we zoom in, you're going to turn the comp plan on, the comprehensive master plan, because that shows the planned streets within the city. So again, now going to the Ryan Creek service area, which we're in. Now I'm going to start zooming in and following the Ryan Creek Interceptor in a lot more detail. And we're going to pan through. It takes about 10 seconds for the pan to appear. So this is the intersection of 60th and Ryan Road, and that's where the Ryan Creek Interceptor would connect. It connects to a big 84-inch diameter sewer that comes from actually the north part of Milwaukee and then along the Root River on 60th Street and then goes east into Oak Creek and ends up at the South Shore Treatment Plant. The first section of sewer is planned to be tunnel section, and that would be a tunnel section with a micro tunneling across Milwaukee County's property. Have some kind of a problem with Milwaukee County property in that their property is obtained through lock-on funds, and we can't get an easement, but we're able to get a permit on that through that property. So again, that would all be tunnel. And then as we get off Milwaukee County property, and we're going to proceed to about 1,500 feet east of 76th Street. This is the O'Malley property. At one time, a wetland was filled. This wetland that here shows in blue is not not there anymore, but the developer was required by DNR to enhance and then place the lands to the east in a conservancy, so we're avoiding those lands. We had looked along going along Milwaukee County lands, but Milwaukee County would not allow us to, on those lands because of the wetlands and the prairie. So I knew, we're ending up going through O'Malley's lands, and he's very much in favor of that. Then going south along the back lots on the east side of South 76th Street and crossing over, and I think the council will be very aware of where Southbrook Church did their rezoning south of the city garage. City garage is up here. The church is in this area. Crossing over and then going south to just north of the Ryan Creek crossing at 76th Street. And then proceeding west, basically along the property line, and then going across Ryan Creek. But we plan to tunnel this section. That eliminates us going through a really lengthy DNR approval to cross a navigable stream. So this portion would be tunneled or jack and board, but we would not open up the creek. And then we're proceeding along, and I think if I turn off the Ryan Creek interceptor here, you can see that we're following along a street in the comprehensive master plan. Not showing. Well, anyway, we're following a street, through a street in a comprehensive master plan, westerly, through the, I just need to turn one more thing on here. I'm going to turn the easements on now. Going westerly through and to the Wolf property, and the Wolf, working out with the Wolfs for an easement for access down to Ryan Road, down to Oakwood Road. And this easement allow construction to come in and work up to the creek on the going to the east and also to the west, and then we can service the other off of 76th Street. So we don't even have to get involved in the creek crossing. Mm-hmm. Another interesting item, we always have to do an archaeological.
Just 1 second, Jack. Alderman Lovell?
Will you, as you're moving along, show us the properties of the people that spoke up that were not interested in having this across their property and that have hired the attorney, so I know where they are?
Yes.
Mr. Holderman's property.
Mr. Holderman's property and...
And then Mr. Zapitek's.
In fact, I can, you know, when we get close, I can zoom in and you'll be able to see the property names. It's just that you get kind of lost in detail in the area. But we're now at the Marv Wolf property. This is the Holderman property. Let me move it back so you can see it in detail. And we're crossing parallel to the river. Now, one of the things in negotiating this the easements is location. So I think we're somewhat flexible in location, and that can be modified as we talk to the property owners, and that's one of the portions of negotiation. So, you know, this can be moved to some degree. We generally have to be, to make this economically feasible, within the drainage area of the Ryan Creek where the sewer gets so deep that the cost would skyrocket. So, again, proceeding across the Wolf property. And we are doing archaeological digs, and we will do some more archaeological digs. Then we come to Bosch Lane. And again, if I turn this off, you can see Bosch Lane. Bosch Lane. And we come into Bosch Lane.
Isn't that Wolf property part of some secondary environmental or primary environmental corridor or something there? Because we just got done through this whole comprehensive outdoor recreation plan,
right,
about, and the master plan about how those are supposed to be protected, and this is going right through it. I'm just curious.
We cut the corner of it, but we don't go through the mid part of it. And then Bosch Lane, then it goes north along the 92nd Street. And then west. Generally following the comprehensive plan to the Mayer property, the Mayer property. They spoke today and going through. I know Joe Everly has met with the mayors a number of times to try to find the best location to go through their property, and I've worked with them. And then the next property, and I'll zoom in on this, is the Nepentic property. And on the Nepentic property, we're planning to go along the south lot line of abutting the county property. So the county property is here. The actual temporary easement would be on the county property, and the permanent easement would be on the Nepentic property. And the reason for doing that is that the county property was purchased with lock-on funds, and it's almost impossible to get an easement on it. We could do it by permit, but the county has convinced us that this is the best way to do it.
Jack, turn the RCI easement.
We will be crossing, these are the easements. We will be crossing the Ryan Creek and tunnel in this section, or Jack and Boar, so we won't be open cutting through the river.
It's got a nice tree line right there, too.
We'll be going under the tree. This is going to be in Jack and Boar.
Oh, okay, thank you.
So we'll be going under that. It'll be probably 25, 30 feet deep.
Okay, thanks.
Is there any reason why it doesn't go down Ryan Road?
Because Ryan Road is not in the valley, and it would be extremely deep. We'd have to go tunnel the whole way, and it probably wouldn't even be bank but tunnel. So you need to follow the drainage, because it's a gravity-driven sewer. So
will you go back to the Mayer property where you have that yellow line that goes north from their property? I didn't quite get what that was. That line.
Let me get to 8,000 scale. It shows it better. This would be an access point to be able to come in from Ryan Road, and then they'd be able to construct both directions from that. That eliminates having to truck over the creek back here when we cross it. If we didn't come in from this direction, we'd have to cross the...
Okay, so that's a new access drive? Because the driveway's on the other end, isn't it?
Right. Yep. Driveway comes. You can see the... Yeah. We were talking about this today. You can see the driveway coming in here.
Okay, and so...
And the three lots are over here.
You'll have another access easement on the...
This will be a temporary easement
for
the project that would be returned back to...
Is that on the mayor's property?
That's on the mayor's property.
They're okay with that?
I can't speak for them. But Mr. Everly has met with them for a number of times. So again, we'd come up to this creek crossing, and then we'd come in from 112th Street... from the other direction, so it allows us to keep out of the navigable stream.
Jack, how much of that is tunneling once you get to the wetland area in the Mayer property and going through the Nepentic property? How much of that is tunneling?
None.
Just of it. Everything is surface cut.
Everything is surface cut except for the crossing of the creek here.
And I think that's the reason that Mr. Nepentic has a concern, because it's his farmland and non-use of it at the time.
Jack, I'm sorry. I thought you told me that under that tree line, that was going to be Jack and Boar.
Which tree line?
On the Nepentic property. Or did I miss something?
Well, that's where we're crossing the creek here.
No, there's a whole tree line. I'd go to the left.
The Nepentic property is over here.
It's not hard enough. It's the whole tree line right across there. You're going right up, right through it.
This is the county lands to the south.
Yeah. Up, left, your other left.
Yeah, the west, right there.
And this is where we're
starting
tunneling.
There, all the way to the edge of the picture is a tree line.
No, this.
Take the sir off.
Drop your easement, Marks.
Show us where the lot line is. Show us the lot line. Mm-hmm.
Oh, a tree line right on that lot line.
Mm-hmm. Well, that can be juggled one way or another, too.
I would urge you to do that.
Yeah. I don't destroy the tree line.
It's enough for me. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, can we move on?
Yep.
Okay, and then we're proceeding to the west, to come to 112th Street, and so we're now at 112th Street, and we go north on 112th Street to Ryan Road. And the Irish pub is right here. That's the item you'll see on the agenda a little bit later. We did find some, in our phase one determination, found some possibility of contamination, and would like to do a phase two in the street area to be sure that we're not going to run into any contaminated soil during the construction. And then we go west, crossing the old interurban right-of-way to the corporate line with Muskego. And then Muskego will be then having a force main that will come down North Cape Road and across on Ryan Road into it from the north, and then also a force main coming into the sewer at the county line, or at the county line at the corporate line.
Jack, how much of the layout that you're showing us is related to this being gravity-fed?
Oh.
So, I mean, is it that you have to follow a certain path because if you don't, it won't gravity won't work there?
We need to follow basically the terrain to make it work. So we're generally following the Ryan Creek interceptor, or the Ryan Creek, and as you can see, we vary to get it through because we don't want to be right in the creek either. So we're on one side of the creek or the other side of the creek. We do have some ability to work with the property owners to jiggle where we're going to put the sewer, but we generally need to be in that valley of the Ryan Creek to make it economical.
I'm not going to take a poll of the common council members, but I'm going to guess it's 1,000% in favor of trying to jiggle whenever possible.
Yes.
To make this the least impact on the...
I think you turn the lights on. Maybe Jesse will want to, city attorney will want to comment on the resolution, but this resolution then would basically start the process of acquiring the easements. Single Source is a kind of a sub consultant to Rickard Mielke. They would do appraisals for each property, meet with the property owner, find out their concerns, and negotiate an easement. Part of the negotiations would be cost on what the value is, and another part of the negotiations is what we can do to make this more palatable for the property owner. So with the adoption of this resolution, that would begin. Everything would be brought back to the council for approval, the offering price, and then any changes in the easements or whatever would be brought back, and no offers would be final until the Common Council approved the offers.
Jack, you've been here for 41, 42 years?
Yes.
How long has the city been after the Ryan Creek intersection?
Well, I think actually before I started.
Before you started?
Yeah. It was on the maps, I think in 67, around that time, and I started in 69.
Okay, and absent the Ryan Creek interceptor, is it possible to achieve the 70-30 formula for the city?
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert on that, but particularly for commercial and industrial development, it's very, very difficult for commercial and industrial development to develop without sanitary sewers. You can have septic tanks for homes, rarely do you see commercial development or industrial development flourishing without sanitary sewers.
Alderman Woolham and Alderman Skransky.
Well, I'm the only one I remember, and I know I can talk about this now because it's been out for a while, but in closed session I was bringing up quite a few things, and I still have those same concerns. And I guess I'm opposed to eminent domain. I'm opposed to taxing the people that won't be able to use this, so I'd like to see how that's addressed. I am opposed to not taking care of the empty areas that are already in the developed areas of the city before we expand out into this area. The increased need for roads and the money to put the roads in that will come with the development, which also will increase the need for police and fire. And the what I see coming out here first won't be business, because there's not enough business to support it out there. Housing will come first, and that will put a burden, further burden on the schools. And I have yet to have those items fully addressed. I can completely understand the reasoning and the money savings for going with this option, and the grant to get it done, and the cost savings to the city doing it now versus later. But I would like some of those other things that are sitting out there that I need answers on to be more comfortable with supporting this. I know that, you know, the first thing someone's going to say is, well, you must be anti-development because you don't want this. But it's not about anti-development or development for me. It's about meeting the needs of the people that we have right now and placing extra tax burden on the people that won't be able to use this. And the land use prices out there are going to increase when that sewer goes in. And that means their taxes are going to go up. And the property values will go up. And so there are a lot of negative things as well. The only real positive thing that I hear is we won't have to pay for it as much in the future. But we don't know that. Things could change. We could have the same thing come in 10 years from now when it's really needed. So if someone would please address that. I wanted Cal to talk a little bit about the cost, if that was okay with the mayor. And then the last thing I have is on page 11, if there's going to be a motion to adopt the resolution, there's a section on page 11 that says in one of the whereas, and by the way, I think we could get one more whereas in there. There's 22 whereases on this document. But one of the things it says is the city of Franklin has communicated to the district the immediate need for sanitary sewer to a specific area within the city of Franklin. I am one of those city of Franklin. I have not expressed my immediate need for this, and I do not see the immediate need for this. So I would appreciate the maker of the motion, because I know even without my motion this will probably pass, that immediate need wording be stricken from the document, because I don't believe that to be correct.
Colvin Skrowski?
Yeah, a couple of my concerns. One is the impact it's going to have with the constituents, especially where the sewer is going, and the two particular property owners. On these two particular property owners, Mr. Nupnick and Mr. The other gentleman, I'm sorry, I got your name right now. Are they going to be compensated for the land that they're not going to be able to be used at the time of this going through?
Yes.
And has that been expressed to both of the property owners and discussed with them?
I have not talked to the property owners. I think our consultant has, but that's something that single source will talk to them about and, you know, explain to them. If this is approved tonight, we'll be sending out a letter to the 39 property owners indicating, actually 36, because we don't have to send it to the county, 36 property owners indicating that they, single source will be contacting them, and single source will be working. They have, that's their business, is working with people. They'll do an appraisal, and they'll talk to the people, find out what they want. They'll bring them back the information, and we'll work with them and do the best we can to negotiate an acceptable easement with them. Either way, whatever comes back, then we'll come back to the council for action. The only thing we're going to do is be the messengers and try to work with the people to see what we can make the Bryan Creek Interceptor fit to their best needs.
So I realize it, and in some part I've asked both of them to call me. I have not either had phone calls, and I'm not going to bother them and pester them every 5 minutes with a phone call. But my door and my phone has been open, so Again, I extend that out to both of the property owners that have the most concern. I've talked with some of the other ones that have called me. I definitely am not in favor of doing any condemnation of land, but when it comes into the public interest, I hope we can work out an arrangement with these particular property owners before that would come to that. This is a plan for the future of the city. It is not necessarily now. In time it will come to pass. There's always a time of value and rights that all come into this. It is important. I will definitely work with the I have worked with everybody that has called me and talked to me about it. And I realize I represent the majority of the interest of the people that have the concern of the district. It is not my opinion. It's their opinion that I represent. I hope we can do this amicably, that we can resolve this matter and get on with life. But it's a once in a 25-year or 40-year opportunity in order to get that in, and it doesn't have to be used. But the concern is how the residents are going to be treated, and hopefully where the financial impact is not on their shoulders.
Alderman Schmidt.
Jack, I know many years down the road that you had discussed the other alternative was using a pump station method. Would that have considerably altered the path of this now that you're going with this one that's because it's a gravity system?
If we would have had the pump stations, we would still need sewers in this general area because it has to go by gravity to get to the pump stations. So there would be a sewer in the general area of the Ryan Creek Interceptor, whether you had pump stations or not.
Alderman Olson? Oh, I'm sorry, Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jack, what's the overall cost when this is all said and done to the taxpayers?
I think Cal should end that, but the cost is of the project is estimated about $31 million. And I think Cal will be better to answer that, but the major portion of the cost is being paid, will be paid for by MMSD, and we have an intergovernmental agreement that's written by our city attorney and I think is a pretty sound agreement. But I think maybe the financial officer would be much better answering that than me.
I know that Alderman Wilhelm had asked. Also, while you're coming up here, I think that this would be about the 30th time that these figures have been shared, but one more time.
The overall cost is of engineering and construction is in the $31 million range.
What's the portion to the city of Franklin?
Well, the
what's our share?
Our share is virtually nil. There will be some small interest cost that we will bear. But at the time of bid, all of the pre-bid costs, including engineering and any of the other costs incurred, will be reimbursed by the Clean Water Fund loan. Then each of the construction payments, as they are approved, will be reimbursed by the Clean Water Fund up until the point where the time is complete and we have a $31 million loan. Then there's some payments, depending upon when it's finished, that we will advance, and then those payments will be reimbursed by MMSD in 2017, and they will start making the debt service payments for each annual year in 2015. So everything should be reimbursed other than a little bit of interest on the monies that we advance.
And what's the projected value of the property? I think we throw out some numbers. What do they think it's going to be worth when you develop it in terms of property tax value?
I can.
Your Honor?
I'm not sure.
I don't think I
asked Jill Deedle just because I had questions about this. We looked at there's like three new business parks proposed in the comprehensive master plan, number of real estate developments, two commercial centers, all those things. There might even be a room for future schools in this area. You wouldn't be able to put a high school or something in that area without proper sewers. So I think the figures was around $1.2 to $1.3 billion.
Wild, real rough. But just looking at sample business parks and assuming that the commercial area and residentially could be comparable to another one. So that's where the number.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alderman Wilhelm, if I may, I reread that whereas, which, by the way, for those playing along with us, is the third whereas on that page. I tried to take out your section. It would make the paragraph unreadable. So I also note that the statement is confirming a discussion with the mayor, so it's the mayor speaking, not the common council. So I don't have a problem leaving it in. I also don't have a problem with taking the whole paragraph out if the city attorney advice is not important to the record.
City attorney?
That particular provision was in, also in, Resolution 2009-6610, adopted by the Common Council on December 1, 2009. My thought in drafting this was to go beyond what the statute requires, which would simply say Common Council declares it necessary in the public interest to acquire the property necessary to undertake this project and adopts the map as a relocation order to provide a public record within that action item of everything that's happened in recent history on the subject, including by the Common Council. But beyond that, it's not legally necessary to be in there, so if you want to delete it, even though it was previously in a resolution adopted by the Council a year ago, December, that is appropriate.
And then one other item, Mr. Mayor, for yes. Cal. You mentioned just now that the city will be responsible and pay for, in essence, gap interest financing. So if we build this, get this built by 2015, say, it's completed, there's going to be a two-year gap between MMSD payments and...
Yeah, their payments will start in 2015, but the advance payments get reimbursed per the agreement in 2017.
But do we pay the carrying costs, or...
On those we do, yeah.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
I guess just in that paragraph, just the word immediate, it still says the need for, I'm just saying that the immediate word comes out. You can leave everything else the same. And I still haven't got my other questions. No one seems to want to address those. The issue about taxing the people that won't be using it yet. That was one. And I continue to ask the same questions. And if there's an answer, could someone please address some of those? Because, you know, how can you have an alderman sitting up here asking questions and no one up here else cares to hear the answer? I'm not, if someone knows the answer, then I would appreciate it. So the questions again were the eminent domain and how many properties would that happen? Is there any way to do this without taxing the people that won't be hooking onto it or using it?
Why don't
that?
We take one at a time? Eminent domain, how many properties?
There's 39 properties. Well, there's 36 properties, and we don't have any idea at this time. We hope we could acquire all those by negotiating an easement. I mean, that's what we will try to do. If there's some that we can't reach an agreement on, we'll bring that to the council, and the council will make the decision on what to do.
Number two?
Opposing the taxing people that will not be able to hook up to it or use it.
My understanding is that the public hearing will be held by MMSD in the future, and it will be a public hearing, so that is yet to be determined.
Okay. And the issue of how this helps us take care of the empty areas in the city where development is not being supported and we have empty buildings, how this helps that?
I guess I'll tackle that one. Probably doesn't. However, you've heard me say repeatedly that the first year, 3 years that I was in office, I was probably one of the busiest mayors around, and we actually were holding our hands up because we had so many development proposals coming in. I think that several of you are involved in projects now. It's clearly things are picking up. It's not to where it once was, but It is. I think the big issues with the retail, according to what I've heard from the folks that are actually involved in filling up the stores, is much of this was built on a projection of populations of like 1 million. It involved the entire 36 corridor, Muskego, Waterford, Burlington, all of that. As we all know, the last thing that's picking up in the market is the residential. But when the rooftops go in, it will provide more cars, and they will go to the shopping centers. It's pretty much that simple. I've been told by a couple of real estate people recently that they are getting busy. So.
Okay, so that brings me to the last point, rooftops go in, which is what I expect to happen there first, and then that burden on the school district, which is the largest portion of our taxing pie that we seem to get a lot of flack for, even though it's a completely separate taxing body, which people don't seem to understand. And then the last one is for Cal.
I'll be happy to tackle that last other one. And that's that we worked on a comprehensive master plan for almost 3 years for the city. We had, I don't know how many public hearings, how many task force meetings. The number one goal that the Common Council, the entire council, directed the Plan Commission to achieve was to try and reach a 70-30 formula. And that was 30% commercial, 70% residential. I think when we started the initiative with the Tickner Report, the formula was somewhere around 84-16. We've subsequently moved closer to that goal. The major reason that I remember with the Tickner Report doing all of this was it wasn't so much that the taxes for the city of Franklin were so high. It was that the school district's taxes are so high, and that if you don't build commercial development and new business parks in that area, you can expect that your school taxes are going to get higher. So that was the main premise of taking on this huge project. And I don't know, there must have been 15 different resolutions that all came before the council that were all voted on.
Okay, I guess I see this as subdivisions coming in first. And I think the only thing that will save us on that is the housing saturation right now. So if the housing saturation stays as it is, maybe we'll possibly get some business out there first, but I don't see that really happening. And then the last question is for Cal. Cal, with all the cuts from the state and the governor cuts, is there any possibility we would end up losing this clean water fund?
I can't speak definitively to that, but I don't believe so. It's a program that they have in their DNR. And I haven't seen anything in what I've looked at yet that would indicate that would be reduced or not continued.
Because I've gotten several emails from DNR staff saying that a lot of the funding on different, like the stewardship program and things for the court plan, and all those fund, everything's on hold. Everything funding from the DNR has been on hold as far as their departments go. So I guess we should have an answer on that. We should have an answer, you know, from whoever the decision maker is before we step any further into this and $31 million and have that fall apart on us. That would be pretty big.
Mr. Patterson, my recollection is the council has already voted to go after the clean water.
They have applied for it.
Clean. It might not be. I thought it was 6-0 for the vote on that.
Clean water fund loan is at the time of the bid of the project. That's the go or no vote.
Yeah, and that was before things changed at the state level, so that's my concern now. I mean, things change when votes are made, so.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
No.
What are we? We're on G what? G2. And we're moving along. So. I've got a lot of heavy-duty things on the agenda tonight. So is there a motion to adopt a resolution determining the necessity of the public acquisition of easement rights and interest in property and approving an acquisition map for the location, extension, installation, and maintenance of the public sanitary sewer facilities to provide sanitary sewer service to the southwest area of the city of Franklin by way of the Ryan Creek Interceptor sewer installation upon property in the area from the intersection of South 60th Street and West Ryan Road, generally following the Ryan Creek, to the intersection of West Ryan Road and South 112th Street, thence westerly along West Ryan Road to the west city limits.
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Roll call. There's a request for a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scott.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item four. Resolution authorizing certain officials to accept amendment number one to the water tower easement to provide for the construction of
approve.
A...
Move
second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I have a question on that.
Not again.
Have it.
G4?
Pass.
I guess I was just wondering what this is, what area this is going to serve. Is this...
It serves the west side of the city.
Okay, so... Are there any water pressure concerns for the area currently being used?
Yes.
Because right, I know there, when Alderman Dorson was here, there were concerns, and I thought that was taken care of. So I'm just wondering if this is going to be for development in the area of the Ryan Creek Interceptor, if that's the purpose of this.
No. No, the purpose of this is to add reliability, and the one reason we want to get it done soon is that we need to paint the Drexel Tower.
Yeah,
over 30
that.
Years old,
just,
and we can't, we don't have a reliable enough system for the west system to take the Drexel Tower down, because if anything happened to the Drexel Booster Station, the whole west side would be out of water, so this will give us a secondary pumping station, so even
okay,
if we would have a fire at the other station, we could provide the
under support. Discussion, we website did get two eyes, but we didn't get to know, so discussion. Alderman Olson.
Pretty good for a technicality. We're not going to paint the banjo on top of the water tower, are we? Our infamous Franklin banjo.
That would be a policy decision.
And music to inside too.
Not on the agenda. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G5, authorization to proceed with Phase 2 environmental site assessment for one property where easements will be necessary to construct.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Can we take the whole building?
Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Can I try?
Report on Finance Committee review of council referral of resolution to express intent to appropriate 100% of TIF District Number 2 City Tax G6, right? District Number 2 City Tax Revenue to Tax Levy Reduction. And before you begin, Mr. Patterson. We had. Were you here when we had the citizens' comment period? And there were people that came forward. There were two individuals that came forward on this: Mr. Grinch's and Mr. Bartles. And I don't know this to be a fact. Maybe Alderman Olson does, but it's my understanding that they were there at the inception of the business park, and were the parties that authored basically the documents and brought the proposal. To the Common Council at that time. The reason I ask is because I've got some information in the past from others that may be outside that were around at that time, differing with the testimony I heard tonight. So I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Mr. Mayor, just procedurally, probably better if we do G7 first, and then it'll make G6 fall into place without any further action.
Okay. Item G7. Alderman Taylor?
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I think we talked about this at great length back in October. I think you all know where my position is on it. And I think it was important tonight to get a little bit of history lesson from those that served at that time. And we did hear earlier by Mr. Napintek about 2017, stating that none of you are going to be elected sitting up here, which is very possible, but no one sitting up here that made the decisions back in 1993. They actually sat in these chairs and voted for this. And so I think the number one issue is about is keeping a promise that was made to the taxpayers back in 1993. I think we also have an obligation to be transparent, to let people know exactly what we're going to do with this money, this $1.1, $1.2 million, whatever it turns out to be. I think we have to let people know how we're going to spend it, if we are going to spend it at all. And my intent is to give it all back. But this resolution, if you all on your desk, there is a new resolution that has some words written down and some things crossed out. That is actually from Franklin resident Scott Thinnes. And
where's that?
It's on your desk, Your Honor. Here's another copy. Yeah. That is a motion that I'm going to make. Basically, what it says is that we're going to give this money back. It also does not bind this council or bind any future councils, which means that if certain circumstances arise and we have to, you know, spend some of that money, we're transparent and letting the taxpayers know why we're doing it. Because it's been my fear all along, and you know, you can look at, I don't know why we took this before the minutes of the meeting, because there's some interesting comments in there. Like, I made the comment that for the last 2 years I've heard department heads spending that money. And Cal Patterson said it's been 10 years them talking about spending the money. And Tino basically said this: we need to be transparent. We need to let people know where this money is going if we're going to spend it. And that's what our taxpayers, our residents, are asking us, is to be transparent, to explain our intents. 17 years ago, and also in your on your desk is a letter from Tom Godowski, who lives right by the business park, who was in on all these meetings and remembered what he was promised. So that is also on your desk. So I don't have to continue to sit up here, explain myself, when I've done it both last time at the Common Council, and you can read the minutes. It sums up exactly how I feel. But I'll make a motion to adopt the amended resolution, the resolution that is on all of your desks with the changes.
Second.
To express the intent of the Common Council to appropriate 100% of tax incremental District Number 2 tax revenues upon the anticipated termination of the district in late 2011 to tax levy reduction.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion? Alderman Olson and Alderman Solomon.
By the way, it was good to see Mike Bartles and Ted Grutches back again. Truly, that was the intention as I came on board just after the business park was established, and every meeting was tax relief. And I think the opportunity here, Cal, the goal here is to segregate the assessed value in the district and apply it at the bottom line after the levy is put together with the budget. So the direct tax benefit is to the taxpayers, but it doesn't bind the hands of the council in terms of if they want to raise the taxes to some crazy amount, they can still do that and offset it with the value of the tax district. At least it's transparent. With the changes Mr. Thinnes offered, I can support. I couldn't have supported it in its prior language. So I urge us to be transparent, to look to the taxpayers, and give them some relief.
Alderman Solomon.
Well, first off, this was kicked around the Finance Committee for over an hour. So everybody had their input. And Scott, I thank you for your input also. It was very well received. Being a chair of finance and what we've done over the last 2 years when our income has been down, I maintain that some of the taxpayers, all of the taxpayers, in fact, unless they've moved away, have already received some of this money. Because what we've done over the last 3 years is we've robbed Peter to pay Paul. And in essence, to keep the tax increases on a slowly rising line, not the 8-10% peak that we've seen in years past, We have not funded the equipment revolving fund. We have not funded the capital improvement fund as we have in the past. And we have not funded the capital outlay fund. Where did those monies go? They came to the bottom line to keep our tax rate low. So in essence, over the last, I'm going to say 2.5 years now, the taxpayers have already received some of this $1.1, $1.2 million. I agree completely that it should not be put into the operating budget. It should be in one of the capital funds so we can tell the people what we've used it for. Whether it be a new snowplow at $230,000, an unexpected expense, or to replace the 3 or 4 squad cars that we haven't replaced in the last 2 years. Those bills are still out there. So it needs to stay in the capital side where it can be identified and say, okay, we spent $250,000 of this in the equipment revolving fund. We need to replace that. Because in essence, those three capital funds we've robbed from to keep the tax rate artificially low. We should have been taxing at 3.5%, 4%. We didn't do that. We chose not to do that because we did have fund balances in those funds. So I agree with Scott's scenario that you need to show the people where we're going to put these dollars, where they belong.
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Any expenditure in this community of money should be transferred into the citizens, all of us, whether we're up here or down there or anywhere within the community, of where these dollars go, and they must be in the best prudent way of spending the money that will give you a return or reduce any type of debt. I have another way of looking at returning money back to the community or to citizens, to put this into a little nest egg account that when things have to be taken care of and we have these impact fees and they have to be funded and matched. Now, where do we get those matching funds from? And by having this around to where you need funds that are not encumbered on everything else gives you that opportunity to return with the increment of those funds that we can match without having a problem somewhere else. So there's many ways of bringing this money, and it's money that is spent back to the citizens. It ain't going somewhere else. It's not going in Oak Creek, or it's not going over to Greendale. It's a matter of having that money available to do things to benefit the community in many ways, whether it's parks, whether it's roads, whether it's equipment. But those decisions are going to be made by the council and brought up by the citizens and concerns that are here, the ones that are interested in this. So I see I'm not totally in agreement with this, and I hate when these things come at the last minute and sit down in front of us and to make a motion on it. But I would say that money should be put into a piggy bank, used very cautiously, transparent with the owners of this community, which are all our citizens, and use good fiscal restraint on using it. Thank you.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Taylor.
Well, I guess what I've been hearing now is the slippery slope that I think specifically Scott and many of my other constituents and the folks I used to work with on economic development wanted to avoid. They wanted, and the leadership, the county council at the time, I think I can speak for them because I sat out in the audience and listened to the debates, they wanted this to be the benefit and relief for the taxpayer. If it's in a piggyback account, piggy bank.
Very good. You're on a roll, Steve.
Although it's used for a useful purpose, it doesn't provide relief from the taxpayers. It provides another pot of money to go spend. So whatever we do, that's down the road, but we at least need to have a sense of what we want this money for and how we're going to account for it. And I'll go back on the record again. It says, set up a separate fund that shows the revenue income from that TID and then if it gets, and then it should get applied automatically to the levy. Again, if you want to raise the taxes, raise your levy, go ahead and do that, but it's not because of the income from the TIF district, and it's shown as a levy increase before you were the hero and dropped the levy increase by the amount of the TIF. That sounds pretty complicated, but Cal's sitting there going, yeah, okay.
I'm sitting there saying, I don't know how to do it, but we'll figure out something depending on how much you pass.
Alderman Taylor?
I'm going to put a little different spin on this. We just spent, I don't know how long, on the Ryan Creek Interceptor. And is there two business parks projected in there? Mm-hmm. How can we honestly try to sell another one to the taxpayers? How can we sit and hold in public meeting, public hearings, and say, you know, we're gonna do another one, and we're going to give you tax relief? In the meantime, you know, you're going to have to pay for maybe another fire station that's out that southwest corner. You're going to have to add more DPW, more staff. And they're going to say, yeah, right, look what you did last time. So the question I ask this body is, how are you going to sell the next business park? Because I sure the hell ain't going to vote for one if we don't get this back. Your Honor?
This last came here, the first time it came here. One of the big problems that I had with the resolution in front of us is that we had like 14, 16, maybe more items on like page 43 of our budget, which has been in each budget annually over and over and over for as many years as I can remember. And there has been discussions. I think you said department heads had already spent it. Well, reality is nobody spends anything until this common council approves it. So while people may have been looking at those accounts, until such time as this common council votes for it, that money has not been dedicated, it has not been approved. I suggested that given all of the major projects, and I know that there are street projects, and it's probably a community center that's part of that. Park acquisition, things like that. Do you happen to have
page
that?
72.
I don't have it in front
of the agenda.
72? Okay. My concern as the guy that puts the budget together every year is that if these dollars are, if the vote would have went through, I'm sure as I'm sitting here now, when I put next year's budget together, they would say, well, what happened to the community center? What happened to the street improvement fund and all that? So I decided, or at least I waged the argument that, well, we have a finance committee. I have great confidence in that finance committee. They've gone over all of this. And so let's let the finance committee chew on this and come up with some recommendations. While I'm hearing that, there was discussion for over an hour, and there was a motion made, and there was no second to it. The finance committee, from what I can gather, decided to punt and return it back to the common council with no recommendation, which leaves it as a total policy decision. I said earlier that I had heard from other sources that I guess were around at the time that that was not never intended that this should go directly back to the taxpayers. However, tonight, Mr. Grinch's and Mr. Bartles, who I know literally created and built that business park, and if they're saying that at that time it was told to the public that all of these dollars are going to be returned, I believe them. And so with that, and the fact that the Finance Committee decided not to move on this, I guess I'm in the opinion to return it as well, with the caveat that there is language even in Mr. Thinnes's resolution that gives the council some leeway should we find out tomorrow that budget decision, and I have some preliminary information on that. I'm one of those guys that I know there's a lot of people who like you to weigh in on things, but until you actually have most of the information, probably not a good thing. But as long as the language is in there that says that emergency comes up, unforeseen projects, council decides tomorrow they want to build a community center, that this can come back and get revisited, I guess I would support the motion that's on the floor.
Your Honor, real quick, and then Alderman Olson.
Alderman Wilhelm, actually. Alderman Wilhelm.
All right, fine. Alderman
Wilhelm and Alderman Olson.
You know, to me, it doesn't really matter either way. What? Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it sounds like it says the terms of this resolution are only an expression of the Common Council's intent and do not in any way bind the Common Council in its budget process decisions and appropriations. So it says, yeah, we're trying to do this. We'd like to do this as we think we should do it. But if something, even with the wording crossed out about barring something unforeseen, it still says that if we have a road project that comes up, it allows us to do that. Is that correct? Okay. And then the other thing is there's actually this extra with the exception put in here. And does that mean the other with comes out, or how do those two sentences tie together?
I'll go to the maker of the motion, if you don't mind, Alderman Taylor.
That's fine.
Basically, in talking to, and part of the changes were, I think, cleaning it up a little bit and taking out language that really wasn't necessary from the first time around. But basically, the plan is come to fruition, except for the fact that the objective of relieving the tax burden of residents and homeowners. That's what we're adding in. So it's just a comma, slipping that in there. See, and that's the last thing we have to do. This district is going to close, but this is what has not been done. It's the last thing remaining.
Okay.
Either way, however we do it, it's going to be a benefit to the taxpayers. If we do it on roads or if we do it this way, I don't have a problem with that. That's probably where it should go, but I just want to make one point that no other council has been held to previous council actions that I'm aware of. And one example is the trail that was approved along 51st Street that took the 3rd District's access away all along that street. So I appreciate that everybody says, the promises and everything, but there were promises made to the district's 3rd District that were lost and done away with. So,
Alderman Olson, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I did receive a phone call from Rob Spitzer this afternoon and was interested in this, and he wanted to come and offer similar testimony. He was not able to. He had sent me an email to the same context as Mr. Grinch's, Mr. Bartles, and he served on that on the CEA just after it was established. So I'll forward that to you.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt.
I think I can go along with this resolution as has been amended, since it, in essence, is not binding as to what we're going to do in the future. I think there's still a lot of uncertainty now with what's going to come down with the state budget and everything, too. Even if this was returned to the taxpayers, what would be the taxpayers' per taxpayer's benefit? It's 1.1 million dispersed among them, or in the form of the tax levy. How much would they each taxpayer?
There's so many variables that are in here now that would just be
almost impossible to calculate.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to try to hazard a guess at this time.
But I mean, if we do put it into a capital fund for something is, I know it's been discussed before, is if we were going to spend money on making some improvements and we wind up taking out loans with a higher interest rate than would recognize by using this kind of funding for it, that would cost taxpayers money too. So I think, as Alderman Wallum said, six of one, half dozen of another, is how we use this TIF money. If we give it directly back to the taxpayers, or
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, and the question is, when this came about and the people that paid in on this this whole arrangement, are they here now? Does it include all the businesses and everything else? Probably not. Nobody knows. It's the same thing with the other tax money that we catch. Who knows where it came from or if they're around? That's what I'm saying. I think this could be set aside and used for items that the city has to benefit the community and the citizens. And same thing like Alderman Schmidt said. If we gave this all back, what did it come out to? $2.85 per person? And then the question comes up, what if we have to go out and borrow money? What's it going to cost? Because that's going to go on the tax roll, and that it would be one hell of a lot more money that the citizens would have to pay for a project that is probably a necessity. So, I don't know. I still think it should be put in a separate account in the city. It's still the city's money, and it's the citizens' money.
Just for clarification, the motion that's on the floor is basically to move to approve the resolution as submitted by Mr. Thinnes tonight.
Right. Right.
Pretty much it. Alderman Olson and
I think we'll get all twisted up again. Nobody's saying you can't spend the money, although that would be my position. This motion doesn't say you can't spend the money. The motion says that you have to be transparent in doing it. You can't dump it into the general fund as a revenue source and spend it on 16 new fire trucks and 5 new coppers and whatever, you know, a party for the volunteers. It's got to be...
Without paying y'all.
That's correct.
Right.
It's got to be separated out so that the taxpayer can see that either you're taking that money and spending it, or they're getting levy relief because of it. I'm on the side of levy relief because of it, but it's got to be accounted for separately. It's the whole thing. Because if you start spending it, people are going to know, and you'll have to answer for it.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Taylor.
So, a question for Cal. Your thoughts on this is not dumping it into the general fund, and Alderman Scrantz's question about a separate fund, is this something that you would consider finding a way to do, is putting a specific fund so we could see, you know, where this money was going in each time? Is that what the idea is?
The assessed value is one of the first basic things you have in the budget process, so I got to figure out a way to turn it around so that I can hold it off on the side, do the whole budget process, and then add the effect back in. Can it be done? I think I'd probably figure out a way to do it. It's going to, you know, it might have to be some rough approximation because, like you said, that's one of the valuation of the community is one of the building blocks of building the budget. So, as far as if the council directs that the money be put somewhere for some purpose, that can be done too. But I mean, it can't be one of you; it has to be four of you directing.
Alderman Taylor was next.
Well, I'll just try to. Once again, wrap this up where I started back in October. It's about transparency. It's about letting people know what we're doing with this money. And down the road, because the last sentence says, you know, this is only an expression, does not bind. What that's telling people is if we decide that we need to use this money, which my intent is for relief, but let's say we decide to spend this money, then we have to rationalize it to the general population, the public, this is why we're doing it, which will then make it easier when we ask to do it in our business park, instead of letting this thing get buried in the process, we're not sitting here even talking about this. And I think now people are going to want to know what we're going to do with this money. I think we've talked about it twice for an extended period of time. I don't think when the budget process starts, what, in June? I mean, that's coming up?
July.
So we're not that far already, Your Honor. I know you have a lot of fun with that one. But we're going to be discussing this not that far down the road, and I think people are going to be paying attention. And if we have to tap into it, we're going to have to explain why we're tapping.
Alderman Olson?
I won't. This will be last. I don't envision an account that has a balance in it unless that very specific decision gets made. An account with the money in it is equivalent, in my view, to spending it on a park. Because then the taxpayer is not getting a direct benefit and relief from that money. It's a decision. I don't object to that decision being made because that's what's going to, you know, that may or may not happen. But my original view was that money washes right away to the general fund, and therein, after all of the spending decisions are made, there is where you can stand up as elected officials and say, folks, that business park gave you 22 cents in tax relief on your tax bill. And there's your benefit.
Your Honor?
Just going back to page 43, which is actually page 72. That's the one that historically appears in the budget year after year after year. I just want to be very clear about this, and that's that, first, you know, Mr. Grinch's and Mr. Bartles got up and said that was the original 10. We did have Fred Klimitz, who was the mayor at the time, who also, I believe, said that that's his recollection of it. That if the resolution passes, I'm not going to include in my the mayoral's budget, recommended budget, page 43, any longer. And I want to get this straight so that there's no one coming back saying, well, you know, what happened to Rawson Avenue? What happened to the new fire station? Or what happened to the GIS custom tool right or the Oakwood Road projects or all that? If this goes in place, and I believe it will, what's happening is that this will be issue by issue. Every project will stand on its own, and the financing for each and every project will have to come forward as well. And maybe that was the intent all along, but I want to be very clear so that if you don't see this in a recommended budget, you'll know why.
Alderman Solomon.
Normally for capital projects, we go out and borrow. We had been borrowing while times were good, $2 million for capital projects. It fit into our budget very nice. We do that every other year. Well, it's been 3.5 years since we've done that. Because of the economic times, we're not going to go out and borrow any money. So all of those capital dollars and all of these projects have not been done. Park development has stopped completely. We haven't done anything in those 3.5 years. All we've done is the court plan to do the planning. We've got that done now. That stuff's been identified. All of these funds have been depleted. What we need to do is restore these funds, and this would be a way to do that, and put it into a capital account and identify that project. And if that project happens to be a road, it's identified. If it happens to be a park, it's identified. And any project that is proposed, the dollars need to be approved by this body. So if you don't want to spend them, at least they're in the account for the future body for tax relief. Because there will be different projects as we move forward. Now, we shortchanged the road improvement program last year by $400,000. 400 grand. So like I said earlier, the taxpayers have already received some of this money back already, because those funds should be restored. Enough said. Do what you want.
Yes, I did.
And then Alderman Olson.
I guess I will support this due to the last sentence, that there is some wiggle room. However, I will be reminding those that are making the statement, promises made, promises kept, and holding the council to previous actions, that presently there is money in there for Marquette Avenue, which has been needed and has been pre-approved by this council. So if you're going to say that, you're going to hear me, as much as you've heard me, complain about College Avenue not having pedestrian access.
Alderman Olson?
For the life of me, I don't know how we got from taxpayer relief and reducing the levy to no longer having a capital improvement plan, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if there's something political there or there's some other hidden meaning that, frankly, is lost on me. We went from levy relief for the taxpayers to no longer having a capital improvement plan. If you chose to do that, Mr. Mayor, I would say that that would be, let me do a kind word, not the best thing in the world, as opposed to saying foolhardy. I just don't understand the justification. Now, I will go along with you on this. This page somehow becomes gospel, Mr. Tornado Siren.
I was getting on this one time.
And I see on here $1,100,000 for a community recreation center that we have no clue what it's going to be used for. So I don't know how we got to delete the page. There are a few items on the page I delete, but this is about taxpayer relief, not deleting capital equipment. If some council wants to say, we're going to take the $1 million and put it to capital fund, God bless them. But at least everybody will know what the money was used for and where it is. That's it. That's the whole sum of the discussion.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I would. I mean, page 43 can still, like you said, Your Honor, this body still has to vote on any expenditures. So when we did the approval for the tornado sirens, we weren't getting any money from the TIF. We still found the money to pay for the siren. So if there's an item, let's say Marquette or another road or another project, we can allocate money for that project. And these are it says forecast. It's also pie in the sky. We use that today. I mean, we don't know what we can afford, but you at least have a plan of what may happen, what people are talking about. And then, yes, it does turn into gospel that people assume that at some point we're going to get these buildings. But, you know, I mean, what is a salt storage building? $2.8 million. I mean, how many years is that going to be kicked down the road? Many, I bet.
Excuse me, that's the water and sewer building.
Oh, is it? Let me see. Where is it? Oh, water and sewer. I'm sorry, water and sewer. Yeah, well, we already did kick it down 1 year.
You're close. Quite close.
Well, that will get kicked. That just got kicked down. So... But the point is, I can't read straight right now. I don't know why it is. All these page, these numbers, you're small. I need bigger print here, Cal. I mean,
you want glasses?
Right.
You got them?
Yeah. But the point being is we can still put this page out there, but it's still going to come to this body spending the money and approving that expenditure. So this is about transparency. This is about tax relief. This does allow us the wiggle room to down the road say, hey, we're hitting a crunch here. We've had a bunch of squads go down. We had a fire truck that went, you know, a shot. We got to replace it. It gives us the ability then to say, you know what? We wanted to give you 1.2. We're going to give you 7. That's what this is about, letting people know what is happening to that money. Because we're going to be asking for another business park. And if we don't do the right thing, how are you going to sell it to the people that are already ticked off about what's going on in the Southwest, Your Honor?
Last time I don't think I've ever did three gavel passes.
I think once.
What, did I?
Okay, yeah.
All right. I have to address Alderman Olson's statement. And the reason I bring all this up is this isn't the first time I brought it up. I requested that the council refer all of this to the Finance Committee, all of this, especially page 43. From what I can tell, from the dicta and from the minutes and the transcripts, even though there was an hour's worth of discussion, Finance Committee decided not to take action and not to go through page 43. I recommend a budget. It's actually the Finance Committee to the Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee makes a recommendation to the council. Ultimately, it is the Common Council that passes the budget. Speaking of transparency, what has transpired over the years is, well, you know, we're going to get that business park someday, and we're going to use those funds for this and for that and for that. Let's just tell the public right now that, okay, this is what was promised. I believe that it's a credibility issue. We should live up to what we said. But let's tell everyone that the items in here have to come up on an issue-by-issue basis, and that dollars are not, at least today, are not going to be used for augmenting or supplementing any of these projects. That's why I brought it up. And that's what I was worried about. But I have to tell you, with Mr. Grinch's and Mr. Bartle's coming down here and knowing the history that they were totally involved in that, and that was the original intent, fine, let it be. Yeah, Mr. Patterson.
Just how have we been doing on taxing our residents? Page 70 and 71 attempts to answer that position. Over the last 7 years, when inflation was 2.43% per year, our total tax bill went up 2.69% per year. So basically,
Cal, with all due respect, I would suggest that's a political statement in the middle of a TIF discussion.
I would request
that you not go down this path.
I call the question.
Second.
Question's been called, seconded. All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have the chair sees that the ayes have it. On the motion, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, please.
I just want to make sure we have the motion once again is to, Alderman Taylor, is to pass the resolution that was offered up tonight. That was edited by Mr. Thinnes regarding a resolution to express the intent of the Common Council to appropriate 100% of the tax incremental District Number 2 tax revenues upon the anticipated termination of the district in late 2011 to tax levy reduction.
Correct.
And who was the second? Alderman Olson. Is that correct, Alderman?
I believe it was.
All right, on the motion. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. There's a request for a roll call vote.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt. Aye. Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman
Wilhelm. Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Reluctantly, aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. All right. And there was a request for a five-minute recess?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Okay. And we can whip through this.
So they asked everybody to be back at about 25 to 10. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Patterson, for being here and walking your way through this. On item, we're all back. Aldermen are here. We're back on the record. Go back to item 6. I would say that it's moot, but I would ask for
motion to table.
A motion to place on
receive
file.
And place on file.
Second.
The move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G8, 2012 budget preparation timetable. Are you sure going to have enough time for the budget, given all everything that's going on?
I have a timetable, whether we'll have inputs from the state and others by that time. That time will tell.
I think we just cut about $400 million out of the budget.
Whose?
Alderman.
This gives us a couple of new dates. Specifically, the Finance Committee wanted to meet with the mayor prior on the front end to go over some of his strategies and to discuss that. And also to invite the other Common Council members who are not on the Finance Committee to be very active on the front end. So there's a couple of new dates in here. Some dates have been changed. As you can see, as we move into September, from September it gets pretty busy for the Finance Committee. So I would move to approve the timetable for the
second. For discussion.
Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
I just want to point out, the mayor 2 years ago had the listening sessions, which was the first. Is that my correct, Your Honor? The first time you ever did that during the budget process?
As far as I know.
And what if you look at the October 5th, Wednesday, October 5th, I thought it was important. You see it all the time. Today the governor presented his budget to the assembly and the Senate. The mayor of Milwaukee presents his budget. I thought it would be nice for the mayor to come in. Now, we do have the summary pages, but I think to come in before the Finance Committee, and that way could be have a nice discussion, some questions that we have of the mayor at that point. And then just proceed like we normally would. So that's one change that I thought was important.
Did Scott take questions today?
No, but I think you'll be all right with that, won't you?
I just thought.
You'll have a much more friendly house than I think he has by some of the orange shirts. Now, I do have an orange shirt on, but I will.
The rotunda's full.
Right.
It's actually peach.
That's more, yeah, it's more.
It's out on the parking lot? Or?
All right. It's
Alderman Olson.
Oh, okay.
Alderman Olson has the floor.
I appreciate your suggestion, but the reality is the Finance Committee is a subcommittee of the County Council. If the mayor was going to present his budget to a group, it would be to the County Council.
Yeah,
then
the Finance.
But who's paying attention?
Well, and we all, just as long as we're on it, we all know whose fault it is that the mayor has to recommend a budget at all.
Yours.
That would be me. So, Alderman Wilhelm.
I don't have any cons. I'm ready to vote.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Oh, that took less time than the last one. Item G9, Mr. Wasilowski.
Well, this is a status report. Informational to the Common Council, the request by Baptista's Bakery Incorporated for revenue bonding assistance up to and including a sum of $17 million was for the purpose of providing a seventh line, which would bring their bakery facility to capacity. Their business is at capacity right now. This investment, substantial investment in borrowing by Baptista's would provide for an additional 50 jobs. And the CDA this evening unanimously adopted a preliminary resolution endorsing and setting a process forward for the approval of this revenue funding. There will be a public hearing yet to be determined date before the CDA, and the matter ultimately also will return to the Common Council for approval.
Just a note: what I said to the CDA, and I think the vote was 5-0. Is that I was out there recently and took a tour of the facility. I mean, they're just working three shifts, round the clock. It is state-of-the-art manufacturing process. They've got a lot invested in there. I think all of us would agree it's one of our finer businesses in the business park, and they just do a fantastic job. So, and with the industrial development revenue bonds, I think Mr. Patterson said we've done it about 15 times altogether. That we're just lending our name to this, basically, and there's no liability to the city. So, with that, Alderman.
I said in the audience through the CDA meeting, my thought process was if this fills up the building and there's no expansion, we ought to be talking to them about relocation and or an additional facility. So somebody needs to, as we have them before us in the next month or so, that we get that advertisement to them.
Take that under advisement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is for informational purposes, so I'll turn to item G10. Resolution to amend the City of Franklin Investment Policy Statement to Urban Liquidity Investments. So Alderman Solomon?
Every year we are required by statute to review our investment policy, and Cal, you want to go through what your recommendations
are?
This
is a policy for reserve and liquidity investments, basically the cash that we have within the city as opposed to the other ones we'll be talking about. Basically, there's three changes, making the investment from a discretionary status to a non-discretionary status, which means the investment manager needs to have ROK in adding new investments to the portfolio. The second one is diversification based upon a total of both the reserve and liquidity portfolios, because some of the dollars move back and forth depending upon where investment returns are the most advantageous. The old policy just said reserves, and that in this part of the market it just didn't make sense. So we're a combination of reserve and liquidity portfolios. And then we're increasing credit requirements for anything that's a time deposit. Those are the three changes to this policy.
Move to approve amending the City of Franklin Investment Policy Statement, Reserve, and Liquidity Investments.
Second.
Moving second. Under discussion, Alderman Olds.
Cal, page 11, item 11, institutions. Well done. spell check, baby.
On what?
Page 101, item 11. Institution. In the change.
First mistake in 10 years.
Jack Benedict throws on my
All right. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now, G11. Alderman Solomon or Mr. Patterson?
Item 11 deals with our OPEB trust, our post-employment benefit trust, and we're basically making some minor tweaking, adding high-yield fixed income as an equity option rather than part of fixed income, and then restricting fixed income to investment-grade securities, which the two are working basically the same way, and just defining who is the employer representative. So the minor changes to that policy.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G12.
G12 is the current investment manager. Used to be called Mariner Wealth Advisors. They've had a restructuring. They're now called Montaud Asset Management. They requested the investment management agreement be redone in their new name. Terms are basically identical to what we approved in 2008, and recommend that we do such.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Certain the Finance Committee asked this question, Mr. Mayor, if I may, but Cal, why did they restructure?
It's their success. They've grown to a point where they've separated wealth advisors from asset management.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Cal, these mentions Exhibit A, B, and C. Are you going to be tracking those or not?
Yes, I will be.
Nothing here for us to look at those. So.
No. C just is the 1%. B is our investment policy, which we just approved. And A just refers to the custody agreement.
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G13, resolution to establish City of Franklin Investment Policy Statement Bargaining Employees DPW Defined Retirement Plan.
Mr. Chairman, in 2008, when we went with Principal as a financial advisor, we went through a little exercise with them as far as our risk level, but we didn't formally establish an investment policy. As it's indicated there, it is a best practice to have investment policy for money that's managed on behalf of the city. This was patterned after our OPEB trusted document. The investment manager principal has seen the proposed policy, and it's within their overall asset allocation. So this basically is formalizing a less than formal policy that we, in effect, had by defacto.
So this would affect the world's greatest snow plowing employees. And
yes, they have a defined benefit
just
plan,
asking.
separate from the state plan, and this is the investment vehicle for them.
That's true.
Alderman Olson.
Well, you're supposed to ask this question. Is this subject to collective bargaining?
Yes.
No.
Since I recall an issue with last DPW that.
If we do a bad job, we have to pay more in contributions. If we do a good job, maybe we have to pay less.
Got it.
And you might want to indicate how we're doing.
We did in this plan, it was 13.9% return for last year in their funds.
Gee, that's better than I get on a CD at the bank.
Yeah, dot two.
Move
to approve.
Second.
The resolution establishing the City of Franklin Investment Policy Statement for the Bargaining Employees DPW Defined Benefit Retirement Plan.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. The motion carries. I now turn to Miscellaneous permits, Alderman Solomon.
And Oseni, approve of the letter. Clark, approve. Guerrera, approve. Huter, Desi, hold for appearance. Young, approve. Klein, hold for appearance.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you vouchers listed number 137491 through 137634. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Earl.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Wilhelm.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the net payroll of February 25th, 2011. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Sun.
Aye.
Alderman
Holmes. Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Oh. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Sandy.